This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. As always, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we request praises and blessings upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there's no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. To our brothers and sisters in Islam, salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all, and I welcome you all to episode 4 of our Fiqh of Seerah series, Blast from the Past, Seerah in the 21st Century. And you are inshallah aware by now, this is our fourth season, mashallah, and we are taking the second portion of the Medinan period of the Seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the event of Banu al-Mustaliq until the passing away of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Insha'Allah, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with good life and good health and allows us to successfully reach our end. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Yesterday, brothers and sisters in Islam, we completed an event that is related to the expedition of Banu al-Mustaliq, and that is the coming out of the hypocrites. Their actions are now becoming more and more manifest actions that highlight in reality who they are in nature. And subhanAllah, as we can see, and inshallah we absorb from our time together, that subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was, like we said at the end of yesterday's program, him and the Sahaba, they were human beings, and they had to go through the hustle and bustle of life. These were different tests that happened to them. It happens to human beings when you know human beings are created as interdependent beings, and as interdependent beings, we have to deal with people's different their personality types, their people's different demeanors, people's different issues, right? Especially if we're trying to ensure a cohesive society, at the family level, if we're trying to ensure a cohesive family structure. So as we can see, the expedition of Banu al-Mustaliq, it led to other events. And from them, the event we want to discuss today, the great slander and great lie against Aisha radiallahu anha. I just want to take a moment to welcome everyone joining in from Twitter, from YouTube, from Facebook, as well as Clubhouse. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Now, in terms of the great slander against Aisha radiallahu anha, this is probably something we've come across more. It's an event, no doubt, more famous than perhaps what we discussed yesterday and the day before. And even some of the details of the expedition of Banu al-Mustaliq are most probably not known to the masses of Muslims. However, the slander of Aisha radiallahu anha is something that would be more familiar with the masses of the Muslims. And that's because, subhanAllah, it was a great test for her, a great test for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a great test for the believers in general, a great test for the Islamic institution and establishment. And this test happened as a result of this trip. We've spoken at hand of how the hypocrites, they've tried time and time again to derail the unity of the believers. They tried at Al-Muraysi' after the battle of Al-Mustaliq, as we discussed yesterday, but their desire no doubt continued, their resolve became more firmer. Every time they tried to light a fire, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam extinguished that fire, as we saw, when they tried to create a rift between the Muhajirun and the Ansar. So they were always looking for opportunities. They were the tools, or they were a tool from the tools of shaitan, no doubt. Now, On the way to back to Medina, you can imagine it's a lengthy journey because all this is happening on the way back. And on the way back to Medina, something happened. It was the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and something happened. And as a result of what happened, they saw this as an ample opportunity to really further their agenda. And in terms of the details of what happened, we have the details in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And it is Aisha radiallahu anha herself who offers this, who offers the details, who narrates what happened. And she says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would cast lots before he went on any travel. He would cast lots. What are lots? So for example, he had several wives, so he would put their names, we could say in today's day and age, in a hat, and then you pick out the name, and whoever's name comes out, then that's the wife that will travel with you on that journey. Okay, and obviously then that name would stay out until the cycle is completed. So the next time there's a journey, then the remaining names are in the hat, and they get a name gets picked, and accordingly, that wife goes with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when it came to the expedition of Al-Mustaliq, what happened was Aisha radiallahu anha's name came out. Her name came out and she was chosen and she went with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she says that this was after hijab was revealed. Okay, now when hijab was revealed, obviously, if the females are going out, then there's extra processes in play. One of the processes that came into play was that they would mount what they called a hawdaj. A hawdaj is a type of canopy that they, subhanAllah, and this is innovation, right? It's a type of canopy that they would mount on the top of the camel, and the female would sit inside and she would be totally covered and none of the males would be able to see her, and she would have this kind of moving privacy. Right, so you can imagine, think of a ship, because a camel is a ship of the desert, right? So you have your own quarters in that ship, all right? So accordingly, you have your privacy. So she would be in it, and she would have a privacy, and this is how she traveled to the destination, and this is how she was traveling back from the destination. Now, on the return from Al-Mustaliq, from the expedition, or from the actual battle, like we discussed yesterday, there would be these stops, right? And yesterday we spoke about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cut out one of the stops because of the fitan, the tribulations that were coming to be because of the mischief of the munafiqun, of the hypocrites, and he caused them to walk and carry on the journey until it got to a point whereby they were totally exhausted and he burnt out their energies and they couldn't continue their fitan anymore. So there were multiple stops that would happen. On one of these stops, brothers and sisters in Islam, Aisha radiallahu anha, she went out to relieve herself. And obviously, as was the norm then, you'd have to go a bit out to relieve yourself. It wasn't like we have today where you have service stations along the way and there's signs before each service station telling you when the next service station is, and you have an idea of, you know, how long you can manage, how long you can't manage, when will the next stop be, and so on and so forth. So they did a stop, and she went out to relieve herself, and she, radiallahu anha, she had to go further in, she had to go further out. So as she went out, and on her way back, she realized that she lost her necklace. Now this necklace was a special necklace. Right now, imagine Aisha is a young girl. We have to understand this. She's a young girl. She was mature physically. She was even mature intellectually, but relatively to the women of her time, she was young. Maybe a person slightly older would have left this necklace to catch the caravan, because they experienced that these caravans are big. The Muslim armies, it was called a caravan, right? So they're together, it's big. They might just take off, not realizing that we're not there, so they would have left it. Aisha radiallahu anha, she didn't realize this, so she went out trying to trace her tracks and look for this necklace. Now, this necklace that was lost, it was a special necklace. It had beads from Yemen. It was special. It wasn't just any necklace. It wasn't something you could just replace. And she valued it, so she went out to look for it. And as she went out to look for it, it took her into a certain direction, and she lost track of time. And when the time came for the Muslim army to depart, the carriers of her hawdaj, they carried it thinking that she was in. And she actually says this. She says that they thought I was in the hawdaj because I was young and I was light. And the women of the time were light. Why? Because they never lived with a lot of food around them, right? They lived on dates, they lived on water, so everybody was not heavy, they were lighter. So the people thought that she was in the Hawdat. So they just picked it up and they placed it on the camel, and the journey continued, subhanAllah. Now she finds her necklace, alhamdulillah, she found it, and she comes back to campsite and she finds nobody. And she's in the middle of nowhere. So what did she do? She made a conscious decision to just stay there. She laid there and she rested there and she decided to camp there in case somebody came to look for her. And there she fell asleep. Now, it was the norm of the Muslim armies back then, and this was part of the process and procedure, given that they're traveling as large armies, they don't have vehicles where doors are closed and you have boots, things can fall off the caravan, right? So things can fall off. And as a result of this, they would place a sweeper, what they would call a sweeper. I guess in today's day and age, for those who follow cricket, a sweeper would probably represent the fielder at the boundary. The fielder at the boundary, right? In case the when the cricket shot happens and the ball goes through the cover, right? So you have the cover segment of fielders. That's your first line of defense. If the ball gets through, then you have the sweepers at the boundary who pick up what gets through the first line of defense, right? Your cover boundary, and they return the ball back to the wicketkeeper or to the bowler and so on and so forth. So this is a sweeper, right? You pick up anything that slipped through the cracks. So on that occasion, there was Safwan. Safwan ibn Mu'attal radiallahu anh, he was used as the sweeper. So he was traveling behind the caravan and he would be diligent and he would look out to see look out to see if there's anything in the distance between him and the caravan that, you know, he could pick up as lost property and return back to the caravan. On this occasion, he saw something in the distance. He noticed this object. And as he came closer, he noticed that, no, this is a human being. It's not just an object. This is somebody. And then as he gets closer, subhanAllah, he recognizes that this is Aisha radiallahu anha. And in the narration, it states that he recognized her from before the hijab. And by the way, brothers and sisters in Islam, this whole story or part of the story is used by evidence by those scholars who say that it is compulsory for a female to cover her face. That covering her hair is not only part of the hijab, but covering her hair and her face is part of the hijab. Because Aisha radiallahu anha mentions at the beginning that this was after hijab was revealed. Right? So that's why she was in the Hawdaj. She wasn't riding outside of the Hawdaj, outside of this canopy. And also in the narration, when Safwan recognizes her, the statement is clear. He recognized her from his knowledge of her before hijab. So that means there was a stage when they didn't have to cover their faces, and then there was a stage when they had to cover their faces. This is very strong evidence for those who advocate that you have to cover your face. Now, Safwan, he had the greatest of character. He recognized the situation at hand. He understood the sensitivity at hand. He didn't say anything to Aisha radiallahu anha. And this is all in the narrative of Aisha. And the narration is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. He says nothing to her. Right? She's the mother of the believers. He knows the situation. Immediately, he gets off his mount. He causes his mount to kneel down. Aisha radiallahu anha understands what's going on. She gets onto the mount. And he walks in front of the animal, directing the animal to the Muslim, to the next point where the Muslim settled, where the Muslim caravan settled, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam settled with the army. Now, as he's coming in, people see this, but people don't think anything evil of it. They don't think anything evil of it. But what happens? The hypocrites see this, and they decide that this is an ample opportunity for them to further their agenda. So what do they do? They accuse her of promiscuity with Safwan. Subhanallah. A great slander, a great lie. And verses in Surah Nur were revealed about this. Now, after arrival into Medina, Aisha radiallahu anha, she fell sick. And she fell sick and the sickness lasted an entire month. So she wasn't going out. So she had no idea of these rumors that were being spread about her. And these rumors got so large, brothers and sisters in Islam, that some of the believers fell prey to it. And from them was Mistah, subhanAllah, one of her relatives. the relative of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and someone who Abu Bakr would spend on. And Mustah was from the earliest of Muslims. He was from the Muhajirun, right? So, and Abu Bakr would help him financially as well. Not only was it a test for the believers, I mean, from not just Mustah, but also others from the Sahaba, fell prey to this. And we'll discuss some of them later, inshallah. Also, brothers and sisters in Islam, this became a big test for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you need to understand the human nature here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not revealing anything yet. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is out and about, and these rumors are all over him. And Medina is not big, Medina's small. It's a city, yes, but it's small. Right? Now, this is something that doesn't concern him, it concerns the most private matter of him, it concerns his home. And he's the leader of the Muslims. Now, it's human nature, right, to look down on matters like this, especially when it comes from the home of a leader. And till today we see it, right? We've seen Inquisition, leaders being taken to task because of promiscuity. Even those who are not Muslims, they frown on this. Even though they have this policy of live and let live, but when it comes to their leadership, if there's marital promiscuity, we see them hold their leaders to account. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was respected. He was above this. He was beyond this. His home was beyond this. Aisha radiallahu anha was beyond this. But what remains is that this is a matter that is spreading, and human beings are listening to it. And we have to recognize that human beings, they understand what they understand, right? It's about perceptions. It's all about managing perceptions. And earlier we spoke about how people see you before they hear you. And if they don't like what they see, then they won't listen to much that you have to say. Right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, you know, he was sensitive to this. That at the end of the day, irrespective of whether it's true, whether it's not true, there are people who are listening to this and there are people who are believing it. So it became a test for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would go visit Aisha daily to check on her health. And Aisha noticed, radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being different. Meaning when he came, he wasn't staying. He would not come near her. He would not sit near her. He would just walk in, ask about her health, and then he would walk out. So she noticed this, but she, you know, thought maybe he's busy. She didn't think that there's these rumors flying around Medina about her. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was deeply concerned about this. And the closest to him from the Sahaba, they also became deeply concerned, not because they believed it necessarily, but because it concerned them when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was disturbed. And they knew that he was disturbed whenever there was a matter that involved him and his family. Right? So whenever he separated from his family, this became a great trial for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Right? In fact, there was this discussion between Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and someone from the Ansar. They had this arrangement whereby if Umar was near the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and this Ansari wasn't, Umar would update him on the latest. And if Umar was busy and this Ansari was near the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this Ansari would update Umar about the latest. And one day this Ansari came to Umar and said to Umar, you know, he looked disturbed and he goes, a grave matter has occurred. So Umar said to him, he said to him, are you saying that the leader of Rome is coming to us? So this was something that some statements say that there was this rumor that the leader of Rome was concerned about the spread of Islam and he had his eye on the Muslims. Now, obviously, the Roman Empire was a massive empire. The army was massive. And to face a battle, to be part of a battle against the Romans, this was mighty, right? So whenever a grave affair happened, so they would say, Atan al-Ghassani, Ghassani refers to who? Refers to the Roman leader. So Umar said this to this Ansari, that, you know, when he said a grave matter has occurred, so Umar said, is the Roman leader coming? And this Ansari said to Umar, no, worse than that. Worse than that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has separated from his family. Subhanallah. So the Sahaba were sensitive to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his facial expressions, his bodily manifestations, and they would understand if everything was okay. If everything wasn't okay, this was the love that they had for him. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they were concerned. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no doubt, was concerned. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached Ali radiallahu anhu, and he approached Usama ibn Zayd. And these were two people who were beloved to him. And he sought their counsel. He says, look, you've heard what's going on, what's being spread? They said, yes. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what do you think about this? Now, brothers and sisters in Islam, I want us to focus on the human nature of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we discussed this towards the end of yesterday, that sometimes we tend to feel distant from the sunnah with this false belief that, you know, the sunnah is beyond us, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is beyond us, he was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he's an exception. No, he was a human being, right? يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامُ يَمْشِ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. He ate food, he went to trade, he was a human being like you and I. And revelation is not coming down about this. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dealing with this in a human way. And he's trying to use the other teachings of Islam, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught him in dealing with these matters. And from them, brothers and sisters in Islam, is that you practice shura. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brings his closest people to him, Ali and Usama radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and he asks them about the matter. Usama, he immediately highlighted the innocence of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and your wives love you, O Prophet of Allah, and there's no truth to this matter. As for Ali, highlighted the same sentiment, but he suggested, he gave a solution, because he could sense the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is looking for more than someone just confirming his sentiments. So he radiallahu anhu, he suggested that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speak to Barira. Now Barira was the female servant of Aisha radiallahu anha, which means Barira was always around Aisha radiallahu anha. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Ali's advice, and he brings Barira in. And he asks Barira that, have you noticed anything suspicious about Aisha radiallahu anha? And Barira said that Aisha is a young girl, and the only issue I have with her is that she leaves the dough out and the sheep come and eat it at the expense of her family and what she has to do with her family. Now, obviously, Barira is elderly, right? So Barira is just highlighting this, that there's nothing wrong with her. The only thing wrong with her is this naivety. She leaves the dough out and the goats come and eat it, right? And obviously, she's prepared the dough and she leaves the dough to rest so that she can prepare it for her family. But now, obviously, she left it out negligently, being a young person, and the goats would come to eat it. So this is all Barira said. Now, Aisha was really unaware, brothers and sisters in Islam. And slowly but surely, she started recovering from her sickness. And once she went out with the mother of Misbah, and remember, Aisha is narrating this. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. She goes out with the mother of Misbah to relieve themselves. So they went out, and on the way back, the mother of Misbah slipped and fell, and she cursed Misbah. So Aisha radiallahu anha said to the mother that this is not something appropriate to say. This is not something appropriate to say about your son. So the mother of Misbah said, did you not hear what he said? Subhanallah. And she said, no. So the mother of Misbah narrates what her son said. And wallahi, you can only imagine what happened to Aisha. She was totally innocent. And all of a sudden, it's like a ton of bricks landed on her. Subhanallah. A ton of bricks lands on her. Because can you imagine what she's thinking? This has been going on for a month. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hasn't been coming close to me. And he's one of his wives. And obviously Aisha, as we discussed during the story of Juwayriyyah, she had a level of jealousy, of attachment to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was known to the other wives. So obviously she's thinking, what must the other wives be saying about me? She's a human being as well. So your mind runs wild, right? And Aisha radiallahu anha went home. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as usual to ask her how she was. She said, I'm fine. But she didn't say anything to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All she did was she asked for permission to go to her parents' house. She didn't say why. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent her. Now obviously she wanted to hear this from her parents herself. And she went to her parents' house. And she asked her parents. And her parents told her, yes, this is what's happening. But her parents consoled her. Her mother tried to console her. Her father tried to console her. Her mother said that, oh, my dear daughter, when you are a co-wife, things like this can happen. You know, there's many sensitivities, but you shouldn't worry about it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't believe it. The mother tried to console Aisha radiallahu anha. And again, remember, a whole month has gone by and Quran hasn't been revealed about this. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed her of what reached him. And he said to her, and this is the way of a leader, brothers and sisters in Islam, we have to understand that even though he believes she's innocent, he has to manage the situation. He is the leader of the Muslims. He is the leader of the Muslim caliphate. And nobody knows how close or far these rumors are or have gone. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to her that if you are innocent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish it. And if you are guilty, then seek repentance and Allah will forgive you. This is what he said. Now Aisha radiallahu anha, from the time she found out that this is being said about her, she was in tears. And she says this by herself. This is in her narration of the events. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, she stopped crying at this point. She stopped crying. And she's the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so she didn't want to look at him. Because of what he said to her, she didn't want to look at him. She just wanted him to say to her, don't worry about it, I don't believe the rumors and you are innocent. But he didn't say that. So she said to the parents to her own parents, to Abu Bakr and her mother, she said to them both, you both answered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Abu Bakr and his wife couldn't answer the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now Aisha says, ignorantly, and she says this in the narration, that I was a young girl, I never read much of the Quran, so I wasn't aware of much of the adab, and so on and so forth. And let's not forget, she is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the end of the day, a husband and wife, they have a certain relationship, and things can be said between them that, you know, can't be said when other people are involved. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, I heard what you have heard, and I feel much of it is established in your heart. Subhanallah. She's saying, I feel much of it you believe. So she said, it doesn't matter what I say, because if I say I am innocent, you won't believe me. So she says, but Allah knows I am innocent. And then she recites from the Quran, verse number 13 from Surah Yusuf, وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَىٰ مَا تَصِفُونَ. Subhanallah. Now look, she is aware of the Quran. But even though she's saying, I wasn't aware of the Quran as I should be aware of the Quran, as the other Sahaba were aware of the Quran. And that led me to speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as I spoke. But given how she used this verse, this is clear that she had a great attachment to the Quran and she had a good understanding of the Quran. But subhanallah, if this was her understanding and this was her statement about herself despite her understanding, then can you imagine, brothers and sisters in Islam? Can you imagine the level of understanding of the senior Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in with regards to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So she read the verse which states, and they brought to Ya'qub Yusuf's shirt filled with false blood. This is from the story of Joseph, of Yusuf alayhi salam. When his brothers threw him down the well, they took his shirt and then they slaughtered an animal and then they dipped the shirt in animal blood and then they brought the shirt to the Prophet to Prophet Ya'qub, to their father, and they said, a wolf ate Yusuf, attacked him and killed him, and here's the shirt as evidence. But when Ya'qub heard this, he said, rather your souls have enticed you to something. So a beautiful patience is most befitting for me. And Allah is the one who I seek help from against that which you describe. And this is what Aisha was meaning when she recited this verse. That I will exercise a beautiful patience. And Allah is enough for me, basically. She goes on to say that not after she said this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she turned the other way on her bed. And she laid the other way, not showing her face to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because she knew Allah will prove her innocence. But she didn't know how Allah will prove her innocence. She thought, Allah will prove my innocence in the form of a dream, in the form of some inspiration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will have a vision, and this is how my innocence will be proved. This is what she thought. But subhanallah, she says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never got up from his space, and no one got up from their seat before they saw him trembling. The trembling that he would make manifest when Allah was revealing to him verses of the Quran, when Jibreel visits him to reveal to him the Quran. Right? There was great strain on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Aisha says that even sweat would fall down from his face, even though it was a cold night. That's how heavy revelation was. And they knew he was getting revelation. And she couldn't imagine what was happening. That subhanAllah, is Allah going to purify me through verses of the Quran that will be recited till the day of Qiyamah? SubhanAllah. So she says that when the stress left the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, immediately the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam raised his head and he smiled and he said that Allah has confirmed your innocence, ya Aisha. Can you imagine how amazing and powerful this is, brothers and sisters in Islam? Allah has revealed the innocence of Aisha. 1 month after this turbulence began, and the mother of Aisha radiallahu anha, she immediately said to Aisha, stand up and go to your husband, the Prophet of Allah. And Aisha responded to her mother. She said, by Allah, I will not stand up and go to him. I will not praise anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a husband and wife relationship, brothers and sisters in Islam. Obviously, she's still feeling hurt that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't come and tell her that he believed she was innocent. So she believed that only Allah believed me, and Allah has revealed verses about me. And these verses, brothers and sisters in Islam, you can go back and review them. They were verses number 11 to verse number 20 from Surah Nur. Verse number 11 to verse number 20. Now this, brothers and sisters in Islam, was a test for the believers. SubhanAllah. It was a test also for the believers. And I told you some slipped. And many didn't slip. Like Zainab bint Jahsh, another mother. Another one from our mothers. The wife of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also asked her about Aisha. And despite the natural jealousy that, you know, existed naturally between co-wives, Zainab said, I only know good things about Aisha radiallahu anha. This is what she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But like Misbah, others slipped from them, Hassan ibn Thabit. And they were punished the punishment of slander. Right, because Allah revealed in Surah Nur the punishment for the one who accuses someone of committing adultery without evidence. And we'll discuss this inshallah when we go into the lessons. So Hassan was punished, Misbah was punished, the others who fell prey and they were a minority were punished. They were lashed, the lashes for the one who commits slander. And they apologized to Aisha radiallahu anha, and Aisha radiallahu anha forgave them. In fact, Hassan ibn Thabit, he narrated couplets of poetry praising Aisha radiallahu anha and praising her innocence. And it was a test, and such is life, brothers and sisters in Islam. But as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also revealed in Surah Nur, لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this test of 1 month that the believers went through, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through, that Aisha radiallahu anha went through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed and said, don't think, do not consider it bad for you. In fact, it was good for you. Right? Because that's life, brothers and sisters in Islam. In life, you know, life throws at us pixels. We don't have the whole picture. It's only when we collect enough pixels can we tell what the picture is, right? Until then, we can't. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the entire picture. The believers at the time didn't, but Allah revealed that the picture you will see eventually. When you see that picture, you will know that what you went through was good for you. It wasn't bad for you. And Aisha radiallahu anha, even years after the event happened, she was proud of the fact that there's verses in the Quran that will be recited till the day of Qiyamah about her and about her innocence. SubhanAllah, that she was declared innocent and she was purified from above the seven heavens. La ilaha illallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself revealed about her. And no doubt she felt a special status because of this. You tell me, brothers and sisters in Islam, if Aisha radiallahu anha knew from the beginning that this test would happen, but the result of it would be verses of the Quran preserved until the day of Qiyamah, recited by generations of the Muslims thereafter being revealed, what do you think she would do? Take the test or opt out of the test? I'll leave you to answer that question. Okay, tomorrow, inshallah, when we come back, we'll dive into the lessons from the story of the great slander against Aisha radiallahu anha, inshallah. And I will share some snippets, inshallah, that will fill some of the gaps. I've purposely left things in this manner so that when we go into the lessons, we can recap certain things, inshallah, and then take from those lessons from the story that will benefit us today in the 21st century. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Everything correct said is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and any mistakes are from myself and shaytan, and I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Brothers and sisters in Islam, please don't forget to make full use of this season of worship, the month of Ramadan. Subhanallah, already we are on our fourth day of Ramadan, and the fifth night begins very soon. An entire week from the month of Ramadan will go by. So please don't delay, right? Claim today, don't delay, if I can say that, as we see in some of the adverts. MashaAllah, we're in a season of worship, and Allah is freeing countless number of people every night from the hellfire, and His mercy is descending upon us daily and nightly in an unprecedented way. Let us do our best to pray more, to recite more of the Quran, to seek more knowledge, to refine our character for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, seeking His pleasure. Okay, brothers and sisters in Islam, until our next episode, may